Hello, this is Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com. It's been a full day here for July 1st. Actually, this is the second day, but I call it day one because it's the first full day of activities. I start off on my podcast here speaking with H&R Magic, the original guys. That's Dick Hatch and also with Charlie Randall. And then next we go into the dealer's room where I catch up with Jeff McBride and Eugene Berger, both talking about working with the juniors and their mystery school. Inside, I ran into Greg Bordner, who was holding down the fort for Abbott's Magic Company there, and he talked a little bit about his upcoming Abbott's get-together, and then happened to catch Dale Salwick and Lance Burton, and we talked a little bit then about the mentors who are making some really great strides with magic over in the Orient. And then later, after the show is over, in the evening, I talk with Bill Cook, who has become a full-time professional magician out of Chicago. He had starred in Make Believe movie about competing as a junior. And we talk a little bit about competing and how what he's doing now as a full-time professional magician. And then we wrap up the evening talking more with Lance Burton about a project that he's got, which is a new movie that he started last year, involves Johnny Thompson and several others, and he's working on editing the film now. So just kind of bringing you up to date on that, and the name of the movie, by the way, is called Billy Toppet, Master Magician. So I think you'll have a lot to listen to in this short podcast tonight for the MagicWordPodcast.com. But I also want to give a shout-out to Mark Paulson, who is now an official Friends of the Magic Word. He is someone who has given his financial support that helps make these things come your way. So thanks, Mark, and thanks to others who are thinking about donating. And if you wish, of course you can, just send a PayPal donation to scottwellsmagic@gmail.com. So now, enjoy day one from the IBM and SAM combined convention here in St. Louis, Missouri. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it's early Tuesday morning. I got Richard Hatch and Charlie Randall. Hey, guys.
Hey, Scott.
Sneak up on you.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And you got in like 12:30 this morning.
Marshall was telling 2:30 this morning. The flight was late. It was supposed to get in just after midnight, but it was delayed by 3 hours in Phoenix.
We've seen Brian right now.
2:30 local time. Oh, I'm trying. I had a shower. That helped.
Oh, well, that's good. Are you guys rooming together again in there in Phoenix?
Unfortunately.
Okay. Or is Marshall with you also? Or Mark? Okay, get all the guys.
Yeah.
So H&R is back together again for the... So it really is a combined convention.
It is.
The H and the R.
That's right.
The odds.
And you got the P going on, too, there. with Mr. Peterson.
That's right.
That's right. So tell me, what's going on then in Utah? How are you doing?
I'm doing what's fine. What is going on? Let's see. I talked to you at 4F. I just had my accident shortly before that. Nothing major going on.
We talked at 4F about the Magic Studio. What's it called again?
The Hatch Academy of Magic and Music. My early press releases framed it as a combination of Hogwarts and Juilliard, but it was really just to draw attention to the fact that we'd moved to this college town and the Rosemary violinist was available for teaching, and it initially backfired because for about a week I had more students than she did. That has reversed. She's got more students than she can handle. I'm teaching this summer. Every summer they call them summer citizens instead of senior citizens. They come up from Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Florida to spend the summer in the cooler atmosphere in Logan. We're about 5,000 feet above sea level and about 10 degrees cooler than the rest of the state. And the college puts on elder hostel type classes, so I'm teaching three of those. One I call How to Be an Amazing Grandparent. It's basically my Magic 101 and Magic 201 classes combined over a week. Then I teach one called How to Be an Amazing Audience, which is a magic appreciation class. And then my most popular one for that demographic is called How to Have an Amazing Memory, which is an introduction to mnemonics. And that's been my most popular class
for
obvious reasons.
Yeah, for obvious reasons, sure. Probably get a lot of retired citizens also for that as well.
Exactly.
Well, good. Thanks very much, Dick. Well, it looks like that we're getting ready to go over to see the show over here then right now, so we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right.
Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And before I go in the dealer's room, I thought I would catch up with an old friend and yours too, Mr. Jeff McBride. Hey, Jeff.
It's wonderful to be here. It's one of the largest groups we've had for the Lance Burton Teen Magic Seminar. We had over 65 kids from all over the world. It's the premier teen event in the world, and this year it was the SAM and the IBM combined. We had a lot of great teachers, and the future of magic is in really good hands. There's a lot of amazing young magicians that you'll be seeing on the scene real soon.
I was just talking with someone who had one of his children at this thing. They said this is the first year they've lowered it to 7 years old.
No, they had two groups there actually this year. They had the preteens, which was headed up by Jan Goodsell, because the SAM has a youth program.
The SYM.
And, the SYM. And then there was the Lance Burton Teen Seminar, and the youths were invited to attend some of the conferences, and there was many of the teachers went to both groups. So they're even the young kids, some of them are really amazing, had some incredible mentoring by Sean Farquaad and Ice McDonald, and Lance Burton was down there with even some of the youth teaching them some of the finer points of magic.
And I understand it's pretty much an all-day event. They said it went for like from
actually,
10 at night or something.
2 days. Actually, it was 2 days. Full days of intense breakout groups. We had Dr. Larry Haas here, Bryce Kuhlman, Eugene Berger, myself. We had Alex Ramon, and Sean Farquaad came in. Bill Cook from Chicago came down, who's one of the alumni.
Kayla Drescher.
Kayla Drescher. So we had a great support team and really great magic coaches. It's a dream of a lifetime for these kids and probably changes their life and their magic forever.
This is a great service, and I'm glad that the IBM has picked up this thing was handled by the Las Vegas Desert Symposium, I believe it was.
Yeah, World Magic Seminar. We've been doing it for about 15 years now, put together by Bill and Becky Wells and Lance Burton. It started with a luncheon, just an hour luncheon with maybe 10 or 15 teens that were in the competition.
Right.
And then it expanded to Lance bringing in Mystery School to run the programming and to set up all the different classes and courses and the school curriculum for the teens.
And what was the cutoff age group wise for that?
Well,
You were running it.
It was always it was always a teen event.
Okay.
It was
up
always
to, up
a
to 18.
Teen. Yep.
Yeah.
So, no, 19.
Oh, 19. Okay.
That's still a teen.
By the way, we're joined here with Eugene Berger. Hi there, Eugene.
Hi there. How you doing, Scott?
Great, thank you. So you're another teacher, and so you guys both have your own unique styles of teaching. What was your specialty, Eugene? What were you talking about then?
I was talking mostly about scripting and what you say when you perform your magic.
I could have put those words in your mouth. I thought that's probably what you
meant. And you also taught a hidden classic of magic that probably the teens had never seen before.
Not the trick that can't be explained.
No, Flippo.
Okay. Oh, Flippo.
And Max Maven did a wonderful history of Flippo for the kids' packets.
Okay. That he Max wasn't here, but he provided something.
He wrote it and just sent it to me.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So Eugene's been working on his presentation for the Cut and Restored Paper Strip, or Flippo, all year long with Max, writing this wonderful article that only the teens have now.
Yes.
You know, I think what's kind of interesting, when I have shown this or talked about this to some people, they don't know what rubber cement is.
Right.
It's not something that is in common usage as it was when we were children, I think, and as a result all new again.
And there's another product called paper cement that looks exactly like it and it will not work.
Oh, that's a good tip right there.
That's a good tip. And the sprays don't work.
Like the temporary adhesives or that kind of stuff?
Sprays, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, no, I think it's the rubber and the rubber cement that makes it work.
It actually makes it work.
Yeah.
And then you put like a topper powder over it and everything in order to...
Yes, or a Johnson baby powder.
Yeah. Okay.
The ones I have made by Scott Steelfire in Las Vegas, he treats both sides.
That's what I would do too when you could get...
See, I never did that as a kid.
Oh, you didn't?
I only did one side.
I
was probably lazier than
that. That's the way I learned it, was moving both sides. I thought it holds a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you're much more confident.
Confident. It's going to hold.
There's nothing more. Nothing's more scary than cutting the paper and letting go, and you don't know if it's going to hold or not.
Yeah, did you cut the right side or whatever? Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, this was just, again, for the 2 days, and so is the junior event over that finished last evening then?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
So
I know that a lot of people, how many people had come in for this? Do you know approximately how many youth were here?
Kids, 60.
About 60?
60.
Okay, that's
good. They were divided into two groups.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
7 to 12 and 13 to 19.
That's great. Well, you guys are doing just a great service.
and I thank you very much.
Thank you. So, always good to talk to you,
Scott. And you as well. That was Jeff McBride and Eugene Berger for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. So, Scott Wells of the MagicAwardPodcast.com, and we are in the dealer's room, and I'm right here now with Greg Bordner from Abbott's Magic Company. Hi there, Greg.
Looking
goofy
Scott.
There, okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to get a picture of you with a hat.
Okay, sure. I'm just playing with the chapeau here where am I? St. Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
That's right. And you go back to Colon from here? Or?
Yes, we do. It's got to get ready for the big convention coming up here, August 6th through 9th.
What convention is that?
Oh, please. You're going to be there, too, I hope.
Oh, I guess I should. I don't know more about it.
Yes. It's Abbott's 77th get-together. It's also the 80th birthday of Abbott's. Mm-hmm. So that when you register, you get this book called Decades, which shows 8 decades of magic in Colon in a chronological order. Gordon Miller doesn't look like this anymore, and neither does Tim Wright.
Yeah.
But here's like Carol Fox and Blackstone Jr., and there's pictures of Blackstone Sr. Anyway, Abbott's has been here a long time.
Yes.
You know, it's called the Mecca of Magic. You know, there's a lot of Colon jokes. I live in the suburbs. I live in semicolon.
Yeah.
That's the cleanest one I can tell. And we're all just passing through.
Yes.
Anyway, it's August 6th through 9th. It's going to have a great time at the high school gym. That's part of the magic, is turning that into a theater.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say right off the top
night,
of my hat.
Fireworks. Yeah,
although fireworks is on Friday night.
Friday, okay.
Right. Weather permitting, then it goes to Saturday night.
Okay.
We have a backup plan.
Well, that's a good idea, so slide to the next night just in case.
Just in case it rains. They can't shoot the fireworks off in the rain.
And, of course, they're going to be having the Open Colon golf tournament on Wednesday.
Yes, okay. Speaking of the Colon jokes.
Yeah. It's like my golf. It's a joke, too, whatever I play.
Yes, I understand.
So Al the Only is putting that together.
Yes. He also does the cemetery tour. There's like 30 magicians out there in the cemetery.
Yeah, everybody's dying to get there.
Ba-da-doom. Yes. Okay. That's why they put the fence up to keep them out. Yes, they're all dying to get in. Yes. Another version of the same joke. Oh, yes. We're still here. We're still manufacturing. We got Frady Cat Rabbits, a new batch of those coming through.
Dark Matters. So you're manufacturing all of your own things there, so you're not importing Chinese made stuff, are you?
I can.
Yes.
And we do. But I just got a Rice Checkers and Orange in from Mac Magic. That's gorgeous. You can see that on the website. But and that was
what's the website, by the way?
AbbottMagic.com. Yes.
2 B's, 2 T's.
Yes. Yes.
No S.
No S, no apostrophe. And it's, what was I talking about? Rice Checker and Orange.
Okay.
Beautiful piece made in India.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole lot of work goes into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of playing with that the other day, and those are in stock. And we just came up with a book called Dark
Matters
Secrets.
What's this about?
Well, it's kind of a Halloween book. It has in it plans on how to do like a switch, the wrapping hand, how to build a living head. Yeah,
okay.
Like a living head. There's some mentalism in here. If you remember Johnny Carson doing the Karnak,
sure.
It was based on one of the first effects here in the book on mind reading. It's kind of got like a spooky all Abbott stuff. All a slick post is an escape. Sorcar's flying carpet.
And you're just introducing this book the first time here at this convention?
Well, yes. Yes, it's been in print only about 2 months.
Okay. And how much does that run, by the way?
It's 31 delivered, 25 in-house.
Okay. So when you come to the Abbott's get-together, you can get it for 25.
That is correct.
That'd be a great deal. And I think everybody should come and attend. It should be a lot of fun.
I can't argue that point.
Going to be having some guys talking about cruise ships, a lot of cruise ship guys. I'm going to do a panel. Not a panel. I'm going to be doing my TV talk show thing with these guys. Should be some fun.
Yes.
So,
you know, it's like Lance Burton. I had breakfast with him here today, and, you know, he has fond memories of Abbott's and Colon, Michigan, and, you know, it's just like everybody's been there. It's
got their own stories, yeah.
Yep, have your bucket list.
Yeah.
Gotta get one more item on it.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Good, thank you. That was Greg Bordner for Abbott's and Magic Company. And for the Magic Word, Scotty out. All right. This is Scott Wells, the Magic Word Podcast, still here in the dealer's room, and I ran into old friend Dale Salwick. Hi there, Dale.
Hi. Good to see you, Scott.
And you as well. So we were just talking about what's the name of the show that you tour with?
Oh, International Stars of Magic.
Okay. And that, again, is different from the one, for those of you who heard of the podcast then with Milt Larson a couple weeks ago, that his is a little bit different from your
show. Very much so. Milt's show, as you know, has a tradition that goes back over 50 years.
Right.
International Stars of Magic began in 1973, and there's no perceived conflict at all. We work different venues, and I pick different times during the season, so there's no crossover at all with what Milt is doing on the West Coast, and actually has expanded beyond the West Coast now with his wonderful show.
Right. But they both have international talent.
That's right, yes.
That's the only similarity, I guess.
That's the only similarity, but, you know, there's so much rich pool of talent out there that we can easily pick others that don't conflict at all.
Okay. I knew there was a guy in Korea who was teaching these kids.
He has a whole staff of magicians.
And they found voice fully. It's Lance Burton's here as well.
Program. It's fully credited.
Oh, this is fantastic. I knew for years all these great Korean magicians keep popping up, you know, in the last few years.
Right.
You see them on YouTube and you see them at convention.
Yeah.
And I kept saying to people.
Yu Ho Jin and some of these other guys.
I kept saying, who is it in Korea that's teaching these kids?
Was he one of the.
This is the guy.
Yuji Yasuda.
What's his name?
Yuji Yasuda.
Okay. I'm recording, by the way, over here.
Oh, very good. He has twin citizenship. He's Japanese-born, but he's South Korean. And he has two names. And 2 years ago, I did an all-Asian magic show at IBM. I had him open and close. He did his Japanese act at the opening and his Korean act to close. And he used the two different names. And the reviewer was absolutely convinced that we had two different people.
Two different guys, because the shows are so completely different.
But it was the same person.
So he's teaching manipulation as well as illusions. And everything.
And everything.
Too,
it's general magic as
and
well
sleight
as
of hand.
That's right. Yeah. Wonderful program. It's a 4-year university, and 2 years of that 4 years is devoted to entertainment, magical entertainment, specifically Dong Busan College University in Busan, South Korea.
Mm-hmm. Have you been there?
I have been there. I visited, and I've also lectured there. Did a day workshop.
Wow, that'd be kind of a
40 talented magicians. They live in residence, and they work on magic around the clock for 2 years.
Okay, so the same 40 people. I mean, they don't have different. All the same guys. They kind of go through. Is it a series? I mean, they kind of learn certain things that
build
up.
Well, they cover everything. Yeah. Not just the sleight of hand and manipulative magic, but general magic, the classics, psychology, showmanship, routining.
Yeah.
It's a complete curriculum in magic. Quite wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there are more classes. I mean, there are a lot of people, I think, over, it seems like, in the Orient that
You know, well, China is rapidly expanding in that direction. In Chongqing District, they're building a magic center.
But they recognize magic as a true art.
They might recognize the true art, and that's the secret. Once you recognize the true art, then the government gets behind you financially, and that's the secret.
Yeah. And now, I was thinking that Tono Nosaka also, that in Tokyo, was also...
Yes, that's right. Very much so in Japan. Mm-hmm. Instrumental. And also Yuji Yamamoto with his group has... and Hiromasa Fukai. I think of those three in particular that have been so responsible for the development of magic in China. In Japan, rather.
Right. And their magic, I think, Asian magic in general, is so much different than Western magic.
Well, what I see is happening in Asia is we're seeing a blend of the best, East with the West. I mean, they're hungry to learn from us, but they also take the best of what they know and blend it.
I got to get to the contest.
Okay, we'll see you over there. It is about that time. Okay, we'll talk to you guys a little bit later for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and the Fat Brothers show is over then right now, and I've got with me Bill Cook. Hello, Bill.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
And so we talked last year because when we were in Phoenix, after that they showed a premiere of the Make Believe movie, and that had kind of made the rounds. Are you still getting residuals for that?
No. You know what? The greatest thing I got out of that is the ability to meet fantastic people like yourself and other people at the conventions.
You know, I'm sure that's true, that it did kind of make you more well-known and your face kind of in a lot of different places because it was shown on, like...
The weirdest thing for me about that was being in the Italian airport in... it wasn't St. Vincent, it was in Rome. It was the Rome airport, guy stopped. There was two incidents. One, a guy stops me at the Rome airport and says, Mago. And I'm like, Mago, the magician, yes?
Yeah.
And he says, iPods, CDs, iPods. And he had seen my movie in the Rome airport.
Right.
And then I was on a flight going to the Magic Castle, and I got up to use the lavatory, and a man grabs my arm on the aisle, turns his laptop, and he's got me on his screen. He was watching it on a DVD.
That it is right there. Wow.
On the plane.
Almost surreal.
You,
I'm somebody.
Almost had an accident at 30,000 feet right there.
You know, it's funny that just last evening I was speaking with one of our listeners, John Grabeel,
yeah.
who said that he was inspired by Make Believe, not knowing apparently that that these contests, I guess, kind of existed for youth. And so as a result, he got his children involved with other kinds of contests,
okay.
You know, with that, and kind of one thing led to another. So it was inspirational.
You know, in the last 2 days, I've had four different either family members or people themselves come up to me and say that I or the movie caused them to jump into magic or to start working on a competition act or to pursue their passion.
Yeah.
And it's like mind-boggling to me. Like, me? I didn't. Yeah. I showed up for a contest and they wanted to film a documentary. I mean, who am I? I don't think I'm. But I'll take the credit. Thank you.
Well,
but
part of this has to go to your mother, Chris.
Yeah.
And so, Chris, come on over here in a second. That's got Chris Cook here then as well. And so, what was that like as far as him practicing all the time? I mean, were you encouraging him down in the basement or something, saying keep after it?
Actually, we were, and we did encourage him to take a year off of college to pursue his dream in magic and compete for the last time that he could at the World Magic Seminar as a teen. And you know, daily he was rehearsing. Daily he was being very diligent with his magic, and it was just so thrilling to see how he ended up. It was wonderful.
And did he used to do a lot of magic when he was really small? Or?
Yes, he did. He would try to fool his older brother and sister, and they would get sometimes a little upset with him because he would fool them, and they didn't like it. But
okay, but they never were interested in pursuing that.
No,
I guess.
Not at all.
I wonder why that bug didn't bite them, but you got bit so hard.
You know what? I kind of fell into magic. My brother and sister were social butterflies and you know, different social circles. Well, there's an age difference, but even then, you know, we kind of, you know, different social things. I was the picked on kid in class. I was the...
Okay, you got bullied all the time.
That was me.
Okay.
And I found out at a real young age that there was a chess player from Chicago named Bobby Fischer, who made a lot of money and a lot of fame,
yeah.
Not talking to his opponents and just beating him in chess. And I liked chess as it was. So at 9 years old, I found my way to the library and I found Bobby Fischer teaches chess. And what's next to puzzles and games but magic? And
of course,
Bobby Fischer's book bored me at 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I read it. I understood it, but it wasn't fun. But Mark Wilson's Complete Course of Magic was three books over. And that was a little more interesting.
And so that was the direction you went. So
that's where I took me.
You know, challenging Spassky's child.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was the pictures or the fact that I came home, did a magic trick, and my mom goes, okay, how'd you do that? But that gave me the push, and I kept going. I followed it.
Were you interested in joining clubs? You know, that's something today it seems like a lot of youth not necessarily interested in joining organizations. They tend to kind of stay online and will, you know, read other people's blogs, listen to these podcasts, watch YouTube, chat on forums and everything like that, as opposed to going down and interacting and attending conventions and attending club meetings. What inspired you, or why did you go that direction?
You know what? My grandmother took me to the magic shop for the first time. We moved. The bullying ceased when we moved, and magic kind of took over my life at that
because
point.
Because you're kind of cool, then.
Well,
you knew
yeah.
something cool.
Well, first day of class, I went to the cute girl and said, pick a card. Hello.
Yeah.
And my grandma takes me to the magic shop, and the owner of the shop says, well, we have a magic club. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
And the first night I went was Aldo Colombini's lecture. He was my first magic lecture.
Awesome.
And thank you, Aldo, for kind of helping me get bit harder.
Yeah.
And then the magic club disbanded, and I didn't know about the IBM or the SAM. I just knew about this one little magic club.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started finding out about, oh, there's a club. Oh, that's expensive. I don't want to join that. It's too expensive. I don't want to join that. The Magic Castle, I'll never go there because it's far away and it's too expensive.
Right, because you live in Chicago?
I still live in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then the more and more I got into it, the more I realized, you know what, it's not that out of my price range. And then I joined the SAM. I joined the IBM. I joined the Magic Castle. And then about 6 years ago, I said, why don't we have a magic club anymore? So I started my own magic club in Chicago called the Aces Magic Club, the Alliance of Chicago Entertainers. And the reason being was I teach lessons at the magic shop. I work at PJ's Trick Shop in Arlington Heights, Illinois.
Right.
Shameless plug. And
Brian works there, is that right?
Yep. Yes, yep. Brian is the manager and PJ's still the owner.
Yeah.
And I work alongside with Fred. And we would have 10 to 12 people coming in while I'm teaching. Like, Bill, you got a second, Bill? No, I don't. I'm teaching. Guys, I'll talk to you on my lunch break. And they would just hover there, which is great. You're supposed to do the magic shop. And they were all young guys, you know, 12 to 18. I'm like, you know what? Why don't we start a club for the youth, the young guys? So I did. And now they're all off in college and, you know, leaving home, but they're leaving home fantastic magicians, and they're starting magic clubs at their colleges.
Right.
So
you kind of started your own Long Beach Mystics, kind of a group from like probably have a bunch of guys who will go on.
No one can beat the Mystics.
Okay.
But I started something, and I hope it's
that's
gaining
pretty cool.
steam, and I hope it's doing something cool.
Well, that's an important thing that you've done. I'll only ask you, what's on your bucket list? I mean, that you wanted to work the castle and wanted to belong and a lot of other things. So what have you probably ticked off a lot of things on that list? What more do you want to do?
Oh, boy.
A lot of things. I mean, you're a young guy, so you got a lot ahead of you right now. I mean, what, like, some immediate plans? I mean, you have to, you know, plan your work and work your plan.
Well, this summer, I'm not home. In the months of July and August, I will spend 4 days in my own bed in my own house.
Yeah.
I'm blissfully working around the country.
Yeah.
My mother's my manager. She's booked me all over. I would love to, I'm competing this coming Friday in close-up. I would love to potentially earn a spot to go to FISM. That would be so cool.
Yep. We'll so that's on the bucket list. You'd love to compete at FISM.
I would love to compete at FISM.
Yeah.
I would love to, man, how do I say it? You know, some people say to me, you know, how do you know you've made it as a magician? I don't know. But I do know I'm paying all my bills doing magic. I do know I'm paying my car payment, my college, and you know I'm doing all that through magic. So I don't want to say I've made it, but I'm doing it.
You're doing it.
I haven't made it yet in my head. I don't think I'll ever make it in my head.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it and
living the dream.
Oh yeah, and you got to dream big.
Yeah,
and you know the.
Is that your advice to young people?
My advice to young people. Oh golly, Jeff McBride's got me doing. On his Monday Night Mystery School show, he's got me doing a segment called What's Cooking with Bill Cook. And we had, this month was Wisdom from Wizards, and I could have gone on for 2 hours. And he gave me a locker room session to go, and I went way over time, and then I joined the Google Hangout afterward, and I went even longer about advice. My advice for young people.
Yeah, don't go overtime here.
What?
I say, don't go overtime. Just kind of
I'll give you my favorite advice for young people, and this is something I had to figure out the hard way. Learn not to talk and learn to say thank you. Learn not to talk. My dad taught me that people learn from listening, not from talking. So when someone, even if you know you're not going to take their advice, has advice to give you, listen to it, because you never know when it is the right thing that you're going to need to hear to change your life. And then the other one is learn to say thank you, because even if you think your performance was the worst you've ever seen, in your head it might be, but to them that might have been the best thing they've ever seen. So when they come up to you to compliment you, don't tell them that was awful, that was this, that was that. Just say thank you, and that'll mean more than anything else.
You know, last year, I think as we concluded our chat, I asked you what your magic word was, or that your phrase or something is important to you. That has not changed. It's exactly the advice you just gave. As I recall in my mind that you had said, you know, what I would say and what I try to live by is to just be quiet and listen and say thank you.
Yeah.
It still remains the same.
Hey, I've learned a lot in a year, and that following those mottos, I've learned a lot.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Thanks for asking me to talk.
You're welcome. Chris, thank you very much. You did a great job over here. For the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty out. All right, and so the show is still over, and visiting then right now with Lance Burton. Hey there, Lance. Good to see you again.
Hey, that was a great show, wasn't it?
That was a wonderful
show.
Those
guys were fantastic.
And they weren't all fat, either. I think they've been losing some weight. They call themselves the Fat Brothers. Yeah. David Kay, I know. We'll talk
Hello,
later,
no,
David.
No, Lance is the guy.
But, yes, I thought the show was great.
Yeah, fantastic. I never saw any of those guys perform before.
Oh, you haven't? This is your first time seeing
first
Danny Ortiz or any of those guys?
Well, I was blown away.
Yeah. Yeah, they're students of Juan Tamariz and all that. And just,
oh, man, yeah.
Study at the Escorial. What is that called? Damaji? Something in Madrid?
Escorial.
Escorial, yeah, Damaji. Anyhow, I want to follow up just with a movie. You were saying you were working on last year. It seemed like you and Johnny Thompson were working on something.
Yeah, Johnny's in the movie. It's a small, it's a low-budget feature film. It's an independent film. It's called Billy Toppet, Master Magician.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy. And
Johnny in Vegas?
Yeah, we shot it in Vegas, and we're in post-production now. So we've been editing and doing all that stuff.
That's the hard part, seems like.
That's the fun part.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you doing a lot of that yourself?
Yeah, it comes together. You see it appear right before your eyes in post-production. That's the fun part.
Now, you directed it as well?
Yes.
Okay, so this way you had all these takes, and this way you can kind of take a look now at the film, or I guess the digital.
Yes.
Kind of, it's so much different, I imagine, now than when it was splicing film. Did you ever study?
No, I never studied with the splicing. We would never have been able to do this film 5 or 10 years ago. The technology has come so far as video editing software and just the technology of the high-definition cameras. It's just amazing.
Well, you know, with Now You See Me, that they use a lot of CGI effects and everything like that. Did you use any special effects?
No, we couldn't afford that.
Kind of a low-budget film.
There's no, yeah. The magic is all real.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no.
That's going to be good. You know, that's one thing I didn't like about that. I thought, well, this is kind of a cool movie, but then when you start floating in a ball and things like that, it's a little bit too much.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, what you mean.
And in my opinion also, in that particular case, the script kind of went crazy. I mean, people have taken exceptions and said, this. And I said, well, no, it seemed like that they didn't know where, they knew where they wanted to start and where they wanted to end up, but they didn't know what to happen in the middle, so let's have a chase scene or something, you know.
I don't know. I try to watch all the movies that have come out that have used magic as
sure,
a theme, but I feel strongly that if you're going to set your movie in the world of magic, then you really should try to stick to that as close as you can, anyway.
There's a author, John Gaspard, who is writing a series of detective novels about a fictitious magician living in St. Paul called Eli Marks. Very clever, and the idea is that he wants him to remain true to being a magician and not being like a Harry Potter where he can get out of things, you know, by waving a wand or something. And so certain things happen. I mean, he's doing shows around town and everything, and he's got one book out, and he's got another one coming out later this spring, and they are named after tricks. Like the first book is called The Ambitious Card. And the next one, I think, is called The Second Deal or something like that. So he's going to be having different names of cards or tricks and things that are the titles of the book. And so it's quite interesting. But the point is he remains true to the magic and makes it magic as opposed to being too crazy fantasy.
Sure, yeah.
And that's what yours is, I assume.
Yeah. It's all kind of...
And you wrote it then as well?
Yeah. Okay. It's all kind of set in reality. Michael Goudeau and I wrote the screenplay.
Okay.
And but it's been fun. It's been a learning experience. But there's a lot of people appearing in the film that magicians will recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Thompson's in it, and Rory Johnson, mm-hmm. Norm Nielsen, Bill Smith make cameo appearances, and Lupe Nielsen, and Chris Angel, and Louis Anderson, the comic, makes a cameo appearance.
And Penn? Going to be in it?
Yes, we're talking to Penn.
Michael Goodell, I thought.
Yeah, Penn and Taylor, we're talking to them about doing a little cameo also.
Yeah, okay.
Very cool. It should be fun.
And so you have a potential release date? I mean, like 2015?
Well, whenever it's done.
There you go.
Should be the next
so we'll talk again next year.
The next couple of months. Oh, no, it'll be done by then. we're just at the end of the process now.
Okay. There's no place they can go right now for information, but eventually they can. And the name
eventually,
of,
yeah.
The title again is?
Is Billy Toppet, Master Magician.
There you go. Perfect. We'll look for that. Thanks very much, Lance. I appreciate
good
luck on that. So for the Magic Word, Scotty out.
For more content, including pictures of those I spoke with in this podcast, commentary, links, timestamps, show notes, and more, be sure to visit the webpage at themagicwordpodcast.com. And you can help spread the word by liking the Magic Word Podcast on Facebook and sharing with your friends. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening. Till next time, Scotty out.